And today we're having a public hearing and possible work session on House Bill 5515, the Oregon State Fair. And we have some invited testimony. Don Scott, City Councilor, City of Salem, if you'd like to make some comments, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I am Don Scott. I represent North Salem on Salem City Council, which is Ward 5, and that includes the area that encompasses the State Fair. And we're very interested on the Salem City Council and certainly in North Salem with in working with the state and working with the fair and seeing that the fair has a good and prosperous future. Just within the last several months, the City Council supported unanimously a joint study with the state to look at the feasibility of various kinds of operations for the future of the State Fair. I think one of the challenges we face here is that when we talk about the State Fair, most people associate that with the 10 days or so in late summer that the State Fair comes to town, and of course we see that in North Salem with the traffic jams and everybody turning their yard into a parking lot and so on. But the real economic impact of the State Fair is all the other activities that go through the year, the trade shows and various activities there, and those are the things that we ought to be most focused on, I believe, in terms of working with the state and seeing a good future for the State Fair. Now, on the horizon, we have, thanks to the changes in the law that were created with ballot measure 50, we have an urban renewal district in North Salem that includes the area both to the west of the State Fair along Fairground Roads and also to the north of the State Fair along Silverton Road. And the reason measure 50 is important is because up to the time measure 50 passed and was implemented, we only had a few hundred thousand dollars a year that we were able to generate through that urban renewal district, but now with the changes that were made in vote measure 50 and with the options that the city selected on that, we're able to generate $3 or $4 million a year for improvements in North Salem. We have several planned projects on the drawing boards right now involving upgrading Portland Road to the north of the State Fair, north of the railroad underpass, and several other projects out there. But within the next several years, we'll be able to turn our attention to the area immediately surrounding the State Fair, along Silverton Road, along Fairground Road. And I'm really hopeful that we'll be able to work with the state and develop a joint vision of what needs to happen in that area, and that what we do in terms of the urban renewal area there can be complementary to what the state needs to have developed in terms of the State Fair property itself. Obviously, we can't use state urban renewal money to on a state project on the state fairgrounds, unless, of course, the law was changed or something, but we can do infrastructure projects on the street itself and in the immediate adjacent area there. And that's what I think the real future is, and that's what I'm hopeful we can see happen in the next few years there with the State Fair. That concludes my comments.
You said the city passed a resolution. I'm just interested in what kind of money the city's willing to put up for the long-term future of the State Fair.
Well, the resolution that the city passed, Senator Hannon, Representative Parkins, involved a $60,000 study that's been discussed with John Yunker's office, and the understanding that was carried to the city council in the staff report was that the proposal at that time that we were looking at was $5,000 contribution by the city and $5,000 by the county, with the state putting up $50,000. And that's what the city council did unanimously approve. I just make comment on that I personally felt that it should have been funded equally by those three parties, because I personally felt that it was worth it for the city to have an equal share in the product of the study, to make the statement that they're all equal players in terms of the future of the state fair. But that was the proposal that was brought to us, and it was unanimously approved by council.
Mr. Chair. Thanks, Mr. Scott, for coming. Can you tell me a little bit about the urban renewal plan and what the tax increment funding is intended to be used for, whether there will be any zoning changes along the commercial strip, and what is your vision, or what is the council's vision for Fulton Road?
Yes, Senator Hannon and Representative Beck, what we're looking at is a mixed use development, and it'll be moving away from industrial kinds of activities. There's several pieces to it. One is there's three specific nodes or areas that are identified. One is out in the immediate area of the interchange with I-5 and Portland Road. Another one's back about half a mile towards from the south. And the third one is the area of Fairground Roads, immediately closest to the State Fair. And the concept, and it really is in conceptual form at this point. We have a study product that we're reviewing. In fact, I have a meeting with city staff later this morning to talk about some of the details and try to move it towards finalization. But the concept is to, in those specific areas, to foster retail development and office development, small offices, accounting firms, those sorts of things, activities that would bring more business into the area. One of the key things in my mind that we're doing that's well advanced, we're already acquiring property, is we're making a connection from the Salem Industrial Park area under the railroad tracks to Portland Road. And that's needed for the business in the park, but more importantly, it'll bring ancillary businesses out onto Portland Road, and that'll really improve, I believe, the business climate on Portland Road. The key for Fairground Roads and Silverton Road is to foster development there that'll be complementary to the activities at the State Fair, whether that's lodging in terms of hotel, motel, conference center, those sorts of things. Any number of things could happen there, but I think that's what we need to be looking at, and that's what we need to do. But right now we're moving away from industrial kinds of activities there and to activities that will be more focused on retail trades and that kind of development.
If I can follow up.
Yes, please.
How much, can you give us a scale of how much tax increment funding do you expect to use? How long do you expect to use it? Also, how much of the urban design infrastructure is going to be done? Is there going to be design overlay, or is the going to be left up to individual businesses to determine what the street fronts look like? I'm trying to figure out what kind of entrance we're going to create for the fair, whether anybody's looking at that, also the time and the scale and specifically zoning issues as well.
Well, Chair Hannon and Representative Beck, the concept right now is for an overlay zone, and we're still debating exactly what that will look like. We recently adopted one for, we mean Salem City Council, for Broadway area in north downtown, and that involves creating a streetscape that looks something like Northwest 23rd Avenue in Portland, with businesses oriented to the street and more of a pedestrian-oriented environment. The concept for Fairgrounds Road and Portland Road is to do something similar, but to do it in a way that recognizes that this is going to continue to be automobile-oriented businesses along here. So it might look something like one of the things we're talking about is 50% of the frontage would be buildings, but the other 50 could still be parking lots, as opposed to now the way it tends to be is it's all parking lots. We're also, the standards call for creating a median through most of Portland Road, creating a sidewalk that's removed by planning strip from the actual street, undergrounding all the utilities. I don't have a specific millage rate on the project, and the way that urban renewal has been revised under Measure 50, that's really not applicable anymore. But our income is now currently in the area of about $3 million a year, and with Mitsubishi Silicon and other major projects coming online over the next couple of years, we expect it to go to about $4 million a year.
I just got a question. A lot of 47 and 50 and the restrictions that place on a lot of urban renewal districts.
I just came off an urban renewal board of the last 2 years. I'm just wondering what your projects are listed that would, how much money and projects you have listed for the fairgrounds area, and in particular, the streetscapes and other things, because I think it's pretty difficult to modify your urban renewal plan under the 47 and 50 rubric and what was passed by the legislature during the last session. And it's great if you're doing some urban renewal in that area, but I'm just concerned, has the city modified what it's going to do to encompass the fairgrounds or I don't know exactly how your urban renewal district is set up. I mean, has there been any moves to do those kinds of things?
Chair Hannon and Representative Pardon, it's true that it's now very restrictive as far as changing the boundaries of an urban renewal district. And in fact, there's a maximum of only 1 or 2%, I don't remember the exact number, that you can modify it by each year. But the current urban renewal district includes all of the territory that's up to 17th Street on the west frontage of the state fair, and all of the territory along Silverton Road, which constitutes the north frontage of the state fair. And so the boundaries of the urban renewal district come right up to the state fair. So it doesn't include the state fair itself, and as I understand it, there are restrictions in terms of spending urban renewal monies on public facilities. And in fact, I think it's a legacy of something the city of Salem did some years ago, where a library, which was for use for the entire region, was built out of the urban renewal funds for a specific part of South Salem. And there were many folks, and I think correctly, said, well, that should have been paid to a bond measure or something general. So we have to be mindful of that. But my vision is that, and that of others, is that we can improve the environment around the state fair. We can bring in or encourage the creation of businesses and activities adjacent to the state fair grounds that are complementary to what the state fair needs to do. So we can't do it all ourselves, but in cooperation with the state, we can create a better environment.
I guess just as a follow-up comment, I'm just concerned with the restrictions that we place on urban renewal districts and the ability to change projects around. It doesn't appear to me, based on the testimony at least today, that there's a clear vision of where the urban renewal district's going around the fairgrounds. I'm just concerned that, it's great to have an urban renewal district, but is the money available within the flexible funds area to modify around the fairgrounds? Because, I think there's a lot of concern amongst people that I talk to in the legislature about the city and county stepping up to the plate in terms of, making the fairgrounds a better place, if that's what we're going to do, or if the state's going to make some substantial investment. And, I'd be interested to hear from your urban renewal people or what your urban renewal plan is around this, because we faced some of the same problems in Medford about modifying our urban renewal district and how to do some of those types of issues and where that money can be placed and what kind of projects it can be placed in to be flexible. And we found that a lot of it, according to the new law, is not that flexible. So.
Before we take any more questions, we have Senator there for the hearing. Senator, would you like to make some comments to the committee?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is I'm a senator from District 16. The State Fair, I think, is very much an interest for me because it happens to be, that is in my district, but it's certainly in the City of Salem, which I represent. And I'd like to tell you a little bit about why I think the State Fair is important. And yesterday I was sitting in the Budget Committee looking at corrections budget and also the parole and probation budgets, which were in the not millions, but billions of dollars. And, you know, when I think about how many dollars we spend for people who are in trouble and all the money we spend on youth, we spend very, very, very little in the kids who are successful in our communities. And State Fair, I think, is very important for kids, for 4-H, for FFA, for kids coming in to see animals who live in the cities. That the State Fair is a real tradition that I think that is a real benefit, not just to Salem, it's a benefit to the entire state, but I recognize it does benefit Salem more than others. But I think it's an important tradition that we maintain, so I'm certainly in favor and recommending that we continue to fund the State Fair. And I think I haven't been here too long listening to what Don had to say, but we do have a group put together that I think we do need to take a look and see what do we want the State Fair to become in the next 10 or 15 years. And that's what the study's going to do. And I'm expecting the city and the county to also step up and help maintain the fair because, again, they benefit more than most of the areas in the state. So I'm going to make sure, I'm going to work with them in the interim to make sure that if they do that, or I'm probably not going to encourage that we continue investing in the fair if we can't get some participation in the county or the city to do that. But I think it is an important tradition. It certainly helps a lot of kids. It helps a lot of people understand what agriculture is. It's a very important industry for us, especially for Marion County. I think we probably produce more agricultural products than most other areas. Again, I think it's a real benefit for the entire state, but it does, I understand, benefit our community more than others. So I'll take any questions that you might have.
Are there any questions? Thank you, Senator.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Senator Lynn, are you, excuse me?
I hope there's a difference.
There is.
I've been Senator Shannon
a few times. I've been
to the committee.
Brain dead this morning. I apologize.
Thank you.
If he doesn't recognize the difference, I'll explain to him.
You have to explain a lot.
Okay.
Senator Durfler, do you have any plans in the financing of the State Fair in mind? I know you have a work group together,
mm-hmm.
but can you share with us any tentative plans?
Sure. I've been working on this for quite some time because I think it concerns me as much as it does anyone, and we've taken a look at state fairs around the country. Most all of them are subsidized. I don't know of any that are totally self-sustaining. So most of them do require some general fund dollars to keep them in operation. But I think it should be at a minimum. And my position is that the state fair actually only uses it a short period of time each year. And I think the rest of the time, as I recall, there's some 300 events at the fairgrounds every year. And I keep telling Rusty and the management, if you give them a piece of property and it doesn't cost you anything, you don't pay taxes, then how can you lose money? But we managed to do that in government somehow. And, you know, I can't tell you why. Obviously, some of the people that rent the fair don't pay enough to do the maintenance. The State Fair actually does make money, I understand. but when you start adding the maintenance and so on to the property, then it ends up losing money. But we need to correct that, I think. I would hate to have it. I know we can't go through without some general fund dollars, but we need to keep them at a minimum. And we need to make sure that the fair has deteriorated so far now that it's hard to rent it out and get even a fair market value for it. And we may have to invest money to make sure that we can get a fair market value so that the interim use of the fair does pay its fair share. But from my viewpoint, the use of that property ought to maintain itself pretty much. It's not been doing that. I think it's because it's deteriorated so much that you can't rent it and get to what you need to break even on it.
Follow-up question.
Yes, please.
Okay. So, do you have any long-term finance plan at this point?
No. What I would recommend, and I've talked about, is that I would like to see us do some lottery bond funding to get the fair back up to a condition that it can be rented out, and then it can pay for itself pretty much. Like I said, I don't know of any fair that pays for itself totally, but I certainly would like to see it keep that cost at a minimum.
So is this plan going to be used before this budget is adopted, or do you want us to just maintain its status quo until the work group has a long-term plan?
I'd like to see us... I suggested that we do some lottery bond funding, but I'd like to have the bonds put, or the dollars put into the emergency fund, or emergency committee, until the study is completed, until we make sure that it's a viable program. I'm not anxious to spend a lot of money until we do have a good program, but that should happen probably in the next 60 or 90 days, I would think. That we'll come up with some sort of a vision of what we want the fair to be.
Before the session's over, we will have a
I don't think we would have it by that time. I'm not going to be here 3 months from now. I don't know if you're going to be here, but I'm going to be gone.
I'm for adjourning in 6 days.
Okay. I just wanted to check.
Representative Patrick?
I just wanted to ask Senator Burford, you know, there's been a lot of talk about having an overarching policy discussion about what the state feels like the vision of the state fair should be as well. And as we approach this budget cycle, you know, is the state fair in the proper place? Are we doing it in the right amount of time? Are these buildings, you know, I realize that we're going to probably have to have some general fund dollars spent no matter where or what configuration we have the fair in. But before we go ahead and approve or look at some lottery back bonds and give funding authority and those kinds of things, what do you think about having an overarching policy discussion about the state fair and what its vision is and what should be servicing and where it should be, rather than having this committee move forward, approve the $10 million in spending, even though we might leave it to the Eagles? That's my life. And I guess I'd like to address that.
So I can understand your concern. I'd hate to go another 2 years with the deterioration that's happening at the fairgrounds. I'd like to see us at least have some ability to make the changes before we come back 2 years from now, because I think it just continues a downhill slide. But I can assure you that I'm going to be very interested in seeing how the study is done and what the results are, and I would make very sure along with Cindy E that the money's not going to be spent in the emergency board if there isn't a good viable plan there.
Okay. For the questions, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
John, does the city have a cost estimate of what the economic benefit to Salem, Marion County is, at the state fair where it is, and having independent expositions come in and display goods and services?
Chairman Hamm, the answer is not that I'm aware of. I know that's a lot of that there is a real benefit, and as I said in my opening comments, the tendency is to focus on the 10 days or so and when the state fair is open, and that's really the wrong way to look at it because of all the activities that occur through the year. And that's the important part. That's what we'd like to see facilitated and enhanced. We've been talking about a conference center here in Salem for a long time. Salem, unlike Eugene and many other cities of size, virtually all of the cities of size, does not have any kind of a conference center. And one of the questions is there a way to put together a conference center operation that would take advantage of the facilities at the state fair and use it in concert with, in cooperation with whatever kind of facility was to be constructed. And that could happen whether it's downtown or whether it was out in the urban renewal area here that that we're talking about in North Salem. But that's something we're certainly interested in pursuing. But I don't have a specific number for you.
Mr. Schrader? I thought that we had testimony that that number was about $137 million to the economy.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, that study wasn't done by the City of Salem, so I suspect that's why Mr. Scott doesn't have those numbers at hand. It was a study that the State Fair had the Willamette School, Atkinson School, do for them. And I don't, off the top of my head, remember the precise dollar amount, but it was in the hundreds of millions.
Yes, please. Just real briefly, I agree with a lot of what we've heard today with Mr. Scott and from others about the importance of the fair. And also agree, though, that we have to have some honest cost allocations by all players. And we've got a lot of testimony regarding the benefits of the state fair to the city, huge benefit in the millions of dollars. And also a huge benefit to the county. You know, they don't have to have the fairgrounds. It's all state-subsidized. But my read here from listening to the other members of the committee is that we're generally all in favor, but we have to see more than a $5,000 commitment from the City of Salem. We have to see more than a $5,000 commitment and a few prisoners used here and there from the city and from the county to really, you know, justify going on with it. I think that's what Senator Durfler was alluding to also. So I would expect for me to feel real comfortable long-term with the state fair. If it's not important to the City of Salem, i.e. no money or significant money put in, at least commensurate with what other counties and cities are doing, then I just, you know, I'd have to agree with some of my urban colleagues that maybe if we look at the fair down the line. So it's a question of, you know, put up or shut up as far as the monies and the situation goes. So I would hope, and I think with the urban renewal district, it's pretty easy to do that. I would assume, Don, that you'd be able to take money that you're currently using in your budget for other projects. You'd use that urban renewal money for that, and you could always use city money, other city money, to help with the state fair, at least to the degree that you feel is commensurate with the interest of the city. Isn't that a possibility?
I think that what we're talking about there is we really don't have the ability to move money around in that way, because the bottom line is that the city's general fund revenues have not kept pace with inflation and population growth over the last 10 years. In fact, from 1990 when I went on the budget committee till today, if we look at the city's increase in revenues, it barely matches population growth, and that's all we've seen. So we're really strapped in terms of any ability to spend discretionary general fund money. But we do have the urban renewal process that can help the fair by providing the kind of development that attracts the kinds of activities and businesses and trade shows that the fair needs to be attracting. I firmly believe that the future of the state fair is in those other 340 days a year that other than the days when the state fair is in existence. And I did want to just mention one thing is we have a study that was done, and this is what we're looking at right now. And basically it identifies the two projects for $10 or $15 million out further north along Portland Road. But the third priority is redevelopment of the area along Fairgrounds, and the key is to do it in a way that's consistent with that vision of the future of what the state fair needs to be. Because I agree, right now we really don't know where the state fair needs to go. What's the opportunity, and that's the key. And if we can do that, and if there's something that makes sense to the state legislature, it makes sense to the city and the county, then that's the point where we can join together. Who can do what part of that? What part can we do through urban renewal? What part can we do through other mechanisms? What part should the county be doing? Because I agree, the county should be part of it too. I'm just saying that from our standpoint, we're certainly willing to work with you on that, but we need to know where there is a good plan for how the state fair should develop what it should be addressing in the future.
Representative Schroeder, just make sure I hear what you're saying, and what I understand you're saying is you're not interested in putting in money directly into the state fair, as you said, basically. And so that I'm coming away. I don't live here in this town. I've got a real good viable fair. I'd like up in Clackamas County. I'd like to support the state fair, but you hedged around the question in a very nice way, and I appreciate the answer. But, I need to hear something about the city of Salem. Yep, we're willing to put some serious money into the state fair. And I don't buy the argument you don't have discretionary money. Your town hasn't grown any faster than my town. And all the community cities and counties did pretty darn well under Measure 5. You have some tremendous population growth, and we've decided to provide a certain level of services. But I don't buy that there's no money left at all here for a project of this importance that puts $137 million into the city of Salem's economy. It's a little tough to swallow, all fairness.
Okay. Further questions? Representative Starr?
Not necessarily a question, but a follow-up on Representative Schroeder's comments. I think that is important that we have partners in this process. We have partners from our city and our county in this area. I know that from my county, Washington County, our fairgrounds is subsidized in our county by hotel motel tax to help fund that county fair facility. I think we have an excellent fair facility that's operated much as the state fair is on a year-round basis with a variety of different events at the fairgrounds. Excuse me. So I would echo Representative Schroeder's comments that what we really would like to see is the city and the county to step up to the plate in a more significant manner and really become partners in this. And I appreciate the fact that you have a plan to develop Portland Road and provide a more effective interest to the fair facility. I think that's important and valuable. But I'd like to see a stronger commitment on a fiscal financial level.
Mr. Chairman, if I can comment on that. To date, we have not been talking about, we mean Salem City Council, about any kind of a process that involves participation in the operational costs of the state fair. That, to my knowledge, that's never been brought to us as a proposal, something along the model of what you described in Washington County. And that's something I'm not intending to preclude as a possibility for the future. It wasn't my understanding that, or I didn't know that that's what the sentiment of the committee was. Marion County did put out a hotel motel tax proposal on the ballot last fall, I believe it was, and it failed. That obviously would have provided a possible source of revenue. And we do have at the city level an upcoming one, and speaking for myself, I would certainly personally favor looking at using part of those revenues in a dedicated kind of way for this item, which is, I think, a very important part of tourism promotion. We use the money for promoting ball tournaments and things like that, and certainly the kinds of activities the state fair does would fall in the same kind of category. So I think that's something that that we could certainly look at, and we'd certainly be interested in pursuing. But all I'm saying is nobody's come to us and said, would you do this? And so, we're, from my standpoint, we're kind of in a position where the cart's in front of the horse. And all I can say is what we have been looking at to date is trying to develop North Salem in a way that's compatible with the continuation of the state fair, and in a way that's hopefully mutually complementary. But I don't see the door being closed on working with the state, and certainly the county gets the benefit by using the facility for the county fair, and so I don't see a problem in pursuing it in that manner.
Here.
If you haven't been asked before, you've been asked now, and the door is wide open, and we welcome a partnership from the City of Salem and from Marion County in what I think is a very valuable and important activity that this state has. And we've had testimony from kids before this committee that, and some outstanding young people, and I think that, that it plays a valuable role in our state, not just for the Marion County, but statewide, but it does affect and impact Marion County and City of Salem in a great manner.
Mr. Scott, does the City of Salem or Marion County have an estimate and what is in lieu of taxes? In other words, does the city and the county provide fire protection, provide police protection to the state fair? Do you have a cost, what the cost shift is to have the state fair here economically to the City of Salem?
Mr. Chairman, I don't have a number for you like that. That's been a long-term concern of the City of Salem in a general way, not just the state fair, but all state facilities. If we look at, compare Eugene and Salem, for example, Salem has about $1 billion less in assessed value and a little bit more land area to cover, and you can just about map out all the state facilities and account for that difference. And what it means is all of our infrastructure, whether it's a sewer line, a street, a water line, whatever, has to be built around all these islands of property that are not on the tax rolls. So there is a very substantial cost there. And I think when it's a facility that's fully utilized, that's providing jobs, and that is a vigorous part of the economy, there's a good reason to say, well, it makes sense to, because it's a government facility, not to tax. But when it's a facility that's underutilized, such as is the state fair or the school for the deaf or any number of other facilities around Salem, I think that there's a very powerful argument in that situation for, from the city standpoint, to be saying to the state, you should either find a way to utilize that facility more fully or find a way to get all or part of it back on the tax rolls so that we can have the income we would have if somebody else were simply holding the land for some possible future use, or in the case of the state fair, holding it because it was used rather fully and now it's not, or whatever the case might be. So I think that's an excellent point, and it's certainly part of the equation from our standpoint.
Senator Gates.
Sit here and be quiet. You're happy not taxing your fraternal organizations, but you'd like to put part of the state fairgrounds back on the taxes, tax rolls?
Chair Hammond, Senator Dukes, what I'm saying is that I believe in, and I know there's others at the city level that agree with me, that where a facility is not fully utilized,
like the fraternal, many of the fraternal organizations.
Well, I agree. The same kind of argument can be made there, but in those cases, it's more of a building kind of facility as opposed to, in many cases, the state facilities involve substantial grounds, and so if they were taxed, they'd be taxed more on the basis of the real estate than the buildings in many cases.
Get more out of the state fairgrounds, so that's a target that's...
Well, I'm not saying now. All I'm saying is that the state has substantial holdings, many of which are very, very much underutilized, and I think there's a stronger argument for taxing those facilities than there is for just simply taxing all government facilities. And, of course, all communities have fraternal organizations of one kind or another, and so that's something where, whether it's Eugene or Astoria or John Day, they all have that burden, if you will, whether it's a church or whatever. But in the case of the City of Salem, there is a very large portion of the real estate in Salem that is not taxed, that we have to work around as we service our citizens, our infrastructure.
I just want to comment. You said earlier you thought the cart was before the horse in terms of no one had come to the city and asked for help. I seem to recall that 2 years ago we were in essentially this same dilemma, maybe not quite as dire predictions of what was going to happen, but still for the last several biennium, the same kind of decision, do we continue to stay there? And so I'm surprised it appears to me that the, from what you're saying, that the city is willing to let the state fair go, either go completely or go to a greatly reduced operation, and that would be okay. Now, maybe it's okay if you can get, I mean, if we go to a greatly reduced operation and the city gets part of the land on the tax rolls, because maybe the property tax that you make off of the state would offset the loss of economic development monies and tourism monies that come into the area. But in terms of the businesses that thrive when people come in to use the fairgrounds, I guess I'm really surprised at that perspective. This isn't new. It's been out there, and obviously the city hasn't taken a strong interest.
Chair Hanson, I think that much of this discussion predates my involvement on the city council, but frankly, I think the presumption is and the expectation is that this was a state responsibility, and it hasn't been looked at terribly different than the dialogue about eliminating the school for the deaf or combining the school for the deaf with the school for the blind. Some of those same kinds of issues pertain to those facilities. There's a very substantial payroll between the two, for example. But it ultimately is state policy, and it's been looked at as such. And what I was intending to say was that to the best of my knowledge, the state has never come to the city and said, if you want to see the state fair continued in its present form, then you need to be a player in the operations. We have looked at it, and all the dialogue I've been aware of to this date has been in the vein of talking about how can we create a better environment to facilitate the state in operating the state fair at its present location, not in terms of how can we step up and participate with the state, become a partner in the operation of the state fair. This is the first time I've heard it expressed in that way. That was what I was intending to refer to.
Have you ever gone to the state and said, we'd like to increase the numbers of people coming into Salem and using the facility? We'd like to help increase the number of events you have. How do we help you do that?
I have not, and I don't believe the city has either.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Rusty Vernon, I think what we're going to do is tell ODOT we're not going to get back to your budget today, so if you'd like to go and do something more beneficial to the state, you're more than welcome to do so. Thank you. Mr. Vernon, welcome back to the committee.
Thank you. As always, it's a pleasure to be here.
Do you have any comments following up the comments by the counselor and the senator from Salem?
Rusty Vernon, Director of the State Fair, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I would say that in the last year and a half, there have been some discussions with the city and with the county about their participation at the State Fair. It has not been at the official county council or city council level. In other words, we have not gone into those council meetings and had on the record discussions, but there have been discussions. I've had discussions with the mayor and with individual council people. And I would also say that the city indirectly participates. We have a relationship with the Salem.
Thank you very much.
We have a relationship with the Salem Commission and Visitors Bureau, which is funded by transit occupancy tax funds, and they do assist us in bringing in some activities. So there are some relationships that are out there, not as well developed as they should be, and not as formal as they should be, but some of those discussions, at least preliminarily, have taken place.
Okay. Are there any questions that committee members might have of Mr. Vernon? The question I have is there any effort going on. Mr. Scott, could you come back up? I have another question I'd like to ask you. For some time now, the City of Salem has been talking about having a visitors convention center facility here in Salem. And apparently they wanted to locate it down close to the riverfront property that the city owns. Is any consideration or dialogue being created between the state fair and the city on locating that facility on Fairgrounds property and allowing the city to enter some joint partnerships with the state fair?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, there's certainly been informal discussion about that as a possibility, and that's something that I would say that the council itself is split on. I know there are city councilors who think that ought to be pursued or would like to see that as a possibility, and there are others who are committed to seeing that such a facility be downtown as opposed to out of the state fair area. So it's an open question as far as I'm concerned.
I believe that will also be a topic of the discussion on the feasibility study that Senator Dreffler was referring to. And that would be one of the items discussed.
When do you expect a conclusion on some of that?
I don't have a definitive answer for you there. My understanding, a little different from Councilor Scott, is that, at least from John Yonker's point of view, was that we had expected that study to be shared one-third by all the parties. There's still some discussion going on about making sure that funding occurs at that level. And anticipation is that it's at least about a minimum of about $60,000 total in the study. So I think that there's going to be an additional discussion with City Council and with the County Council Commission about $20,000 coming from each of those organizations, and I'm not sure what level that discussion is taking place yet.
If we were to budget the first year of the budget and put the second year of the budget in the emergency board and make it contingent upon the City of Salem, Marion County, and the State Fair coming back with a business plan on what we're going to do to address them, and you say, to deliver such a budget reduction that would say, we're going to at least run the state fair, but we're not going to run the ag activities and all these other activities that people rent their facilities for.
Well, we'll certainly do whatever the legislature directs us to do and do it very happily, but I think that it would be punitive almost and certainly an onerous kind of decision to be made to say that we're not going to do the other exposition activities that occur, not only to the city and the business community, which would see the loss of that economic income, but all those people that participate in those activities individually would suffer as a result of a decision like that. So it's certainly a possibility, and we can live that way, but I think we need to consider the ramifications of that. And it's not just pure business associates that would be impacted by that kind of decision. We just had AgFest out there. That's certainly a great community and public benefit kind of activity. And there are many other. The YMCA is out there on a year-round basis serving kids. So it would have great ramifications. It would certainly drive home the point, and even stating it in this committee, I think, should certainly make people pay attention and so they can start to contemplate what these kind of decisions or lack of decisions being made at the council level and the commission level with the county and the city could potentially have on this community, and it could be devastating. So I would certainly listen with a great deal of attention to what you had to say about that, and I think that the council sitting here would also listen with a good deal of attention.
That's the reason it was said that it's a form of behavioral modification for the City of Salem and Marion County. Senator Dukes.
Mr. Chair, let me go one step further. It occurred to me sitting here, we've gone through 2 years with a, I'm not sure what the politically correct term is, to you if you're trying to cite a prison. But it'd have to be a whole lot easier to cite a state fair. And I'd be really interested in seeing what communities around the state could put together as a package or an offer. It seems clear to me that the city of Salem isn't all that excited about having the state fair, but there, I'll bet that there are communities all around the state who would be. And we were told during our tour that we can sell that land. We could sell it, we could put it back on the tax rolls for the city of Salem, take the money, and work an agreement with other government entities and in some other part of the state for the land. There are a lot of ag communities in the state, and people who I think could get really excited about that.
Any questions or comments? Thank you both for being here.
If there's nothing else before, we're not going to go into work session on this because...
Mr. Chair, excuse me for interrupting. Rusty Vernon did want to come back and talk about the construction plan. There were questions that were raised in the previous hearings on what their plans were and how they intended to use the lottery back bonds if those bonds were approved. And that's what you have in front of you is a listing of what their expectations are and a picture of a mock-up of the state fair.
Okay. You'll see those two items presented here. We're not going to go into work session on this bill today because there's a certain amount of money that is in question between the co-chairs and this chair on how much was or how much was not agreed upon. So until that issue is resolved, we will postpone further work session. But Mr. Vernon, if you'd like to comment on this construction list.
My name is Chair. What you see in front of you are the facilities maintenance prioritization. We had originally included in our package to the legislature a listing which was a little bit different than this. We've gotten some additional engineering studies since that first list had been prepared. We also refined our point structures. We had basically been around a very tight point division, so you didn't get much spread between various projects, and so we refined our point assignments and priorities, and it resulted in a slight adjustment of the priority rankings from the list that you originally received. This is a ranking that we feel pretty good about at this point, and this would reflect the priorities of the projects in which we would spend money. We took the opportunity in between the Ways and Means sessions that we've had to visit with committee members and share with them some of the broader perspectives of the planning that has gone on at the State Fair. The committee rightfully pointed out that we were kind of focused in on individual projects in our discussions here, and we had not explained adequately to the committee how that fit into a bigger plan of both the facility and the surrounding areas. You've heard testimony today about the surrounding areas and the city's plans to deal with that. I hope that's been adequate. We've also tried to share with you the massive documents, as big as any of the books that you have on your table today, that the State Fair has for its master planning documents. Those documents have been adopted by the Capital Planning Commission, by various fair commissioners, and by the legislative bodies that we've dealt with in the past. The one negative about those plans is that they were last effectively dealt with in 1986. They do need to be updated, and the money that we're talking about does include planning money, which results in an updating of these plans. But when I first came here, one of the first things I did was pull out the master plans and look at those plans, and that was 4 years ago, a little closer to the time the plans were looked at, and I found them to be adequate. That is that they were consistent with what I saw that the needs of the facility and the site were, and that they still seem to be very applicable. It is clear that we need to do a little updating. 10 years is a bit long for a master plan that's been looked at. The construction that we're contemplating is all consistent with the master plan, and it is not much of development work. This work that we're talking about is making sure the buildings don't fall down work. So this is not something you need to do a lot of planning about. It's something you need to do. As we talk to people in the committee and people around, we talk about these plans, and what we say is it's really not an issue of planning. It's an issue of implementation. We have plenty of planning. We plan it to death. We're a good government agency. We plan, and we plan, and we plan. We're a good government agency. We've not implemented. We've not implemented. We've not implemented. What we need to do is implement here, and it's time to be doing that stuff within the context of the broader discussions that we've had. So what you see here is a ranking of the projects by order of priority. And it includes approximately 80% of the needs identified by the Facilities Division of DAS as critical need to get the facilities up to maintainable levels. That is, so they will quit deteriorating. 20% is contemplated for the next biennium. So that basically is where we're at. I've entertained questions about that.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any questions that committee members?
According to your list, are they maintenance costs or is it construction costs?
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, we've had that sort of semantics discussion before. I guess it's a little bit how you choose to define the words. A lot of these are capital costs. Some of them are maintenance costs. When they get to be big dollar values like this, I kind of think they're all kind of capital costs at that point. Even if it's just sealing the buildings, the sealing of these buildings in some cases is in the 20s and 30s and 40s of thousands of dollars. And so we look at these as maintenance costs, and there certainly are things that have more than 5-year kind of life. So they're listed as maintenance, but they really are, in my view, capital costs.
Follow up.
Yes,
Mr. Chairman. There are two completely separate issues. One is maintenance, one is capital construction. So this is a construction cost.
Mr. Chair, yes, that's correct. I would define this as capital. These are capital projects involving hundreds of thousands of dollars with expected life expectancy of the product of work exceeding 5 years. These are capital costs.
So, another question.
Yes.
So you need to give us a maintenance cost also. This way we know how much is construction and how much is maintenance year after year.
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, these are, this is probably improperly labeled. These are capital costs. These are not the maintaining costs of the facilities. This is not the fix the broken pipe as it occurs, or the replace the light, or re-wax the floor, or any of those kind of things. These are capital costs.
Oh, then you shouldn't call that maintenance.
Yes, ma'am. You're correct. I'll change it for you and we get back to you, but it should be capital.
Yes, but you probably need to give us a separate column to show maintenance costs. So in 5 years, they're not going to come back and say, we need to fix leaking roof. Roof needs to be maintained every year. Building needs to be painted every so often. So I think that to have an accurate cost of maintenance versus construction, you need to give us another
column. Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, the budget does in fact break out those maintenance costs that we contemplate in our services, S&S charges, and regular operating portions of the budget. However, I would say that we have not included in our regular, that's where it would appear, and we do have a budget that shows those kind of costs in the normal budget. But as has been the case for the last 15 years, the agency is unable to adequately maintain the facilities. That's why they've gotten to the state. One of the issues that the legislature will be asked to address, and we've had discussions about, will be the continuing funding issues of the agency. That is, how do we maintain these facilities over the coming bienniums so that we don't end up at this question 10 years from now saying that we haven't adequately maintained our facilities and now they're falling down again. That question has not been addressed in the current governor's budget. It has been addressed in the legislative audit study that was done, and we've had discussions with various members about the need to address that. It probably is not any significant issue in the coming biennium as they do the maintenance. You're not going to have a huge maintenance need in this biennium. But in the coming biennium, and certainly in the next legislative session, I think one of the hot topics of the discussion will be, we will discuss these maintenance issues. Everybody will understand about the capital needs and what those are. And we will have supposedly dealt with issues, hopefully successfully, that Senator Gerfler and that the committee has raised about participation within the city and the county, and we're talking about ongoing needs of the state fair. And one of the main discussion items will be what you're talking about, the continuing funding needs of the agency. But this addresses capital needs. Our current governor's budget addresses the maintenance expenditures that we're going to have in the coming biennium.
All right. Representative Schrader.
Just on the Senator Yee's point, I think there's three things we're talking about here. One is the capital construction budget that Mr. Vernon's indicated. This is what we're looking at here in front of us. Secondly, there's maintenance. The maintenance is when you have your janitor come in, do a certain amount of work, you replace the light bulb, do a little, have electrician come in. Then there's a third thing that's called depreciation. And that's the account that they need to have to build and maintain the long-term facilities. That's a difference, in my view, just we're all talking about the same terminology, than maintenance. So it's a depreciation account, which is not what we haven't addressed, that we get at providing the long-term, the sinking fund, whoever you want to talk about, would be the long-term upkeep of the capital construction, not really the maintenance. I'm just trying to make sure we all understand.
Senator Duke?
Let's see, how many acres on the program? How many acres do we own, Senator?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dukes, we own 185 acres. Well, through the year, there's about 9,000. Within the agency itself, the permanent staff is 32. We have an additional 25 positions, which are seasonal, part-time.
Representative Beckers, did you have a question?
I had a question.
I had a question.
We got like any kind of averaging cost, like on a per capita basis, on how much down subsidized by state grant.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I got part of the information that we requested from the County Fair Association, but he did not include county subsidies in that estimate. So all he's got right now is the room tax that some agencies get. But it does talk about the fact, as our study had indicated, that almost none of the fairs that he has listed have any kind of sinking fund. Clackamas has reserve funds, and Yamhill indicates that they use systems development money, but all of the other fairs on this list, and I apologize for not getting it to you, I just got it before the meeting. None of the other ones have sinking funds.
I'm interested on a per capita basis how much these fares are being subsidized. And just as a note, I'm concerned with this. I think there's been a lot of concern about the budget, but I think that I'm concerned about this budget before we go into work session, Mr. Chair. Until we have some kind of overarching policy discussion about what's going to go on, I understand that there's a Ways and Means subcommittee, but I also understand that I feel like we're dumping money down a hole, which we will continue to do, I think, to some extent, but to what extent is necessary or not. We're going to be called upon to make some policy decisions as we look at our policy package in terms of what kinds of bells and whistles we hang off the state fair in terms of what we want to finance and those kinds of things for Oregon voters.
Hope
that that's shared with the co-chairs and other people, and I offer that up to you just to be on record for what we're
The one other thing, Mr. Chair, Representative Scott of Pepperidge, that I did not mention and that I asked them to incorporate in their response is what amount of money do each of the county fairs get from the state as a subsidy. We have been subsidizing county fairs for a good number of years.
Okay, Representative Beck.
Thanks, Chair. Rusty, a couple things. One, sort of following up on Representative Patrick, I guess one concern I have, and we've discussed lots of angles on this, but this is what you're proposing with the round one for funding, and then there's going to be another bond issuance proposed next session and in the following session. And at some point, I think for us to determine whether we make this investment now, how much is that going to obligate us in subsequent biennia, or is this the Band-Aid money, and we can decide in 2 or 4 years to come back and start anew, and you know, what we've lost by putting money in now, if in fact the people of Salem, the Marion County, the legislature, and you decide there is something that we want to do differently. What are we? So somehow, I think we need this list. We also need to see what else we're going to be asked to do in subsequent biennia. You probably don't have all the numbers, but I'm not sure you need to respond to that. But go ahead.
Mr. Chair, Reverend Beck, answer to the first part of your question is, there's nothing here that becomes a continuing obligation. If there is an alternative that is ultimately discussed, for instance, Woodburn decides that they'd like to come to the table and, you know, see the state fair come their way.
Right.
That process, I think we all recognize, is a multiple-year process at its best. That's a 6-8-year kind of process. The monies that we're talking about expending here would have to be expended to survive that long. And there is no obligation that would require you to spend additional funds during that period if you spent the funds now. And these funds would be necessary to survive. So unless you're planning on the demise of the state fair and within the biennium here, you were talking about spending these kind of funds. There is a 10-year capital plan, which I believe we shared with you, it does contemplate, gosh, lots of money. I don't remember what it was. It was, maybe between the two, it was almost $100 million. That has everything in the kitchen sink in it. We obviously are not expecting to achieve all of that, but you do put everything on the table. Within the two biennia, the reasonable expenditure, if we decided to stay at this present location and everybody's probably come up with a unified vision of what we're all accomplishing, we're saying that there's about a $30 million obligation to then have a functional, viable within the market and exciting new facility in as far as the public perception and user's perception would be of the facility. It's about $30 million in its total package, of which the planning money is included in this initial package. So the answer to your question is, there is a plan. There is no obligation to continue beyond this if you spend this money now. If you're not planning on the demise within the biennium, you really should spend this money now, because even if we move, this has to be spent.
You and I talked about that, and I just think it's important for the rest of the committee to hear that. The $30 million doesn't get us here, correct? I mean, maybe it fixes the pipes, it puts a few roofs on, it keeps some of the bigger buildings from falling apart, but doesn't get us plazas and malls and more amphitheaters. And just for the record, I want to make sure I understand that.
Mr. Chair, Representative Beck, I think it gets you mostly there.
This doesn't get it. This just fixes it. It's the Band-Aid money.
That's
so
correct.
Next session, we're going to see a proposal to put a roof over the LB Day Amphitheater, and then we're going to have a sunken area with trees and a north-south access walkway and a pyramid on the south-east
corner of the LB Day. I mean,
Mr. Chair, Representative Beck, probably not next. The next would be talking about the exterior portions around there, some internal improvements, and then the next session probably after that gets you to that stage.
Under the $30 million.
Very close to that $30 million. There might be one particular piece or something that might not come in like the amphitheater, which is a particularly expensive piece at about $10 or $12 million if you took it all the way to the limit, though the roof itself is probably only about $2 or $3 million. So there might be one piece of that, and amphitheater being an example, that might not be included in that, but everything else would pretty much be contemplated in this process.
Okay. Well, I would like, Mr. Chairman, maybe not now, but on your list here, I've identified six items that are over $700,000, which make up the bulk. I think it would be worthwhile refreshing us with each, at least each of those, if not the whole list. Those are the big ticket items. There are a handful sort of in the 300 to 500 range, but most of the money is on the top four items, the grandstand number 8 and number 14, the race barns. That's over $7 million of the 8.3. I don't know if we want to do that now, or I'd at some point like to be refreshed, sort of revisiting our tour, so I kind of know what we're mandating. And
Mr. Chair, if I may?
Well, as I said earlier, we're not going to do a work session today.
Do you want to do that today, then?
So that's certainly something you can meet with staff and come up with some things so that you better
understand. Yeah, it's not something you want to do in front of the committee.
No.
Okay, that's fair.
Now, if we take care of the $10.5 million capital construction, is this something we're going to face every 2 years? Every 2 years, you're going to give us a list of construction repair.
Mr. Chair,
it takes five bienniums to do it.
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, we have a 10-year capital plan, as I think all in the city agency would have. It doesn't necessarily mean that every biennium comes in with capital construction items. I think that we do contemplate for the next two bienniums that we're going to have some continuing discussions about capital issues. Beyond that, we have no firm plans, and the next two bienniums are going to be contingent upon some planning that occurs this biennium, so that when we come into the session next time, we'll have a master plan that's been updated within the biennium that talks about these issues in a very concrete way and says, here's what the plan contemplates for the next couple of years. Then I guess, just like every other agency, you would look at opportunity and growth and needs, and you would come to the legislature as needs dictate.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I really want to know, what does it cost to bring the fairground to a working condition? We're not just looking at $10.5 million. What does it cost and how long does it take so we have an idea?
Senator Yee, I think it might be well for you to do similar to what I recommended to Representative Beck, that you sit on with staff and they can show you definitively what the numbers are. And then before we go into work session, then you can have a better idea. If you want to present that information then to the full subcommittee, we can.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman,
you're
in the LFO.
Yes.
I was scheduled, Mr. Chairman, Senator Yee and Mr. Senator Beck, I would schedule a meeting between you and the agency to go through their plan.
That will answer my question, how long would it take and how much does it cost? Mm-hmm. Can we have that in the form of a memo instead of a meeting, so everybody can have this information?
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, what Rusty Vernon is holding in his hand is their long-term plan. It is a detailed plan, and there's a lot of material there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are wanting to know the details of what the capital construction long-term plan is, you would need to go through those numbers with Mr. Vernon.
Is it possible for us to have an executive summary just answer those two questions? And if it satisfies our question, we don't have to meet. And if I really have questions, then we can meet. Then everybody will have that.
All right. Is there further discussions or questions? If not, we're adjourned until 8:30 tomorrow morning. We're going to be back on transportation tomorrow.
I'm going to be at the department.